Hello. Okay. Hello, everyone. Hi. My name is Francesco. I've been working for about maybe 20 years, a little bit more, in the sort of lighting field. I recently had a change of career. I keep on teaching, though, at the Architectural Association part-time in London. This project is linked to the work I do as a tutor, as a lecturer there, a little bit more maybe, bit of a passion too. The Full Moon Theater is a thing that existed for about 30 years. I think around maybe 2018, 2019, it was no more because the place in France, in the south of France, where it was created, was sold by the actual creator, and it looked a bit like this. So there is in this place there is a stage. It's in Occitanie, a wonderful part of France, and. Over the years, starting from 1990, oh yeah, end of the 80s to plan, I think 1991, 1992 was the first ones. It went through a series of iterations with different creation of systems, and always at the heart of it there were two sides, the side of art and the side of science, the side of engineering and the science of emotion. So on the left you see Peter Rice, who's it kind of links again to my previous career in Europa. He's a famous structural engineer. He passed away in 1992, just the year where I think the first Full Moon Theater was made. And on the right you see Humbert Camerlot. He passed away, unfortunately, 2020. Humbert Camerlot was the director of the opera in Lyon. And actually the guy who had this crazy idea of creating a theater that is fully lit by the moon. I discovered this idea when I was at university through this book by Peter Rice, An Engineer Imagines, where there is the story of the Full Moon Theater from his perspective. This image was like an early image showing that he really wanted to bring a moonlight through fiber optics, very complex system. And then on the other side, usually the engineer is the one with the sort of foot on the ground, but in this case maybe it was the guy with the head in the clouds, and instead Humbert was the guy with the foot on the ground saying, no, actually we need to do something much more sort of easy to do, maybe much more homegrown. So this is an example of the first toolkit used to prove the idea of the Full Moon Theater. Is these are some shaving glasses, mirrors, shaving mirrors, and just the idea that you wait for the moon, and then you put an a picture with some colors, and actually you can see the colors at night, and that is like an amazing sensation, which then led to really making it happen. So this is one of the dancers of Momix. I don't know if any of you remembers this, Moses Pendleton, like famous sort of alternative dancer theater company. And you see one of the reflectors there, and moonlight illuminating, and you can see the skin color and so on. So it's an interesting project because it really takes science and art together, and it has so many dimensions. These are some screenshots from the original, I think some microstation studies that Andy Sedgwick, who you will see in a few more slides, who was helping Peter Rice put together. And so it shows you obviously there needs to be some planning going on there. There are some sort of metrics you need to take into account. And so this is all part of the planning, like assessing the site, assessing how the moon is going to move. And also, yeah, you need to obviously use this different type of source of light. So I've been doing architectural lighting, daylighting. We can kind of introduce this new field of moonlighting, I think we cannot say, but moonlight design. And as you can see, overall, the quantities are the same. We just have a different sort of range. So maybe these numbers can be useful for other images you see later, but you have about like a tenth to a fifth of a lux, 0.1, 0.2 lux is when really like the kind of the brightest moonlight you can get. You've got some ideas as well there about the luminance of the full moon, the intensity in there. The moon also has a reflected spectrum, which is similar to sunlight, but it goes more towards yellow brownish. We've been saying, there are lots of theories about the color of the moon. So yeah, if anyone is interested, I can give a bit of references, but Is also a place, obviously, we know is difficult to inhabit. You see the difference there about, you know, when there is a new moon, with, you know, the temperature of the moon is very low. You know, when there is a full moon, is actually there, is very high. So it's very inhospitable place. Anyway, these images there tell a little bit about the design done in the 90s around creating these parabolic surfaces and really using the most advanced techniques that that they had, you know, these digital techniques to devise, you know, a class of reflectors there. And you will see lots of reflector designs. I think, you know, part of the joy of this project is really that, you know, everyone wants to have a go at proposing, you know, the next type of reflectors. And I did want to do the same, in fact. So you see here this portion of a parabolic surface, which is designed to provide a focus towards the stage, and how that gets translated into a buildable model that then is cut, you know, into shape to be executed with sort of low tech techniques. So it's a bit as well of mix of high tech maybe with low tech. So the project has been going on and off for about, I don't know, 30 years. This is, for instance, an invitation done maybe in the mid-noughties, 2006 is the date I can see there. And so it was always designed really with actually having, you know, caring about what the performance is. So there was dance, there was, I don't know, opera, there was music, you know, but there was always a discussion about, you know, nature, our role in, you know, our, you know, place in the universe, you know, all of this sort of thoughts that are very maybe deep. Umberto was very keen on demonstrating that it's possible to use something so fragile as the light of the moon to actually do something very, so that would really engage with our, you know, perception and with our, you know, experience overall. And in the world of Peter Rice, this is a project of many lifetimes. So a few lifetimes have gone, and I think a few new lifetimes hopefully will come back. And so that's why we decided to restart this project. Anyone who's here is also invited to be, you know, possibly one that takes this project and maybe makes their own. So from my side, the way we kind of did a reboot of this project is through a concept we have at the AI school, at the Architectural Association School, which is called a visiting school. It can be in the form of a workshop that can happen, you know, over a few days, even months, even years, if you want. But essentially, it needs to be, you know, kind of fully funded internally. So you need to kind of design the mechanism for how to fund it. So yeah, we had a bit of sponsorship and a bit of, you know, getting the money from the students as well. So we designed it really like that. But the aim, so we had three aims for this. One aim was to really design and construct a site-specific full moon theater to stage a test performance rehearsal, just to see not only what it is to design it, but what it is to put it into, you know, existence, into place. And then, you know, with all this work, I create a library. And so all that I'm going to show you now is really about this, is about the design and construction methodology, then the staging of the performance, which is, I mean, maybe the smallest one right now. Hopefully we will improve on that. And then it's about the build, you know, building the library itself. So the AA is blessed by having a wonderful campus in London, but also an even more wonderful campus in Dorset. And this campus is very experimental. It has several buildings. All the buildings are actually designed and built by students. And so it kind of grows through time. There is a planning methodology there. The forest itself can be used for materials, so to actually build furniture, structures. It is, I think, the only location that has a Fry Otto building there. So it's the one. Is this one here? Maybe I'll show it on this side too, which is a tensile structure there. So yeah, little piece of trivia there. So the visiting school was designed as a 4 days workshop, and we managed to invite Andy Sedgwick, who is the person who created those models that you saw before in this blue and white color scheme, and they did all the calculation for the original full moon theater. He sort of talked a little bit about the history of it in this particular workshop, and then we also had Alexander Camerlot, who's the son of Humbert, and Alexander works as a he has his own kind of video company, but he's also a tenor, so it's still kind of linked to the opera side, and he came as well to help with you know, documenting, but also you know, telling the story of the Full Moon Theater. Now I go into the more maybe technical part, which is around a few stages of how to put together this sort of event. So there is the planning, the designing, the building, and the performing side, and they're all divided. So you see here time planning, site layout planning, reflective design, sign design, simulation, validation, and then the fabrication, the assembling, the theater construction, and the performing. So there's quite a lot of things. And we attempted to do those over 4 days, which, you know, in a way, we had to scale down our initial, you know, projections and aspirations, but it went quite well. So first part is planning the day. So it's quite difficult, right? Not only the full moon is sort of very ephemeral, but you've got lots of issues, you know, you've got the weather, you know. So approximately the moon is in a good part of the sky 4 times per year, for 4 days each time, you know, 2 days before full moon event and 2 days after. And so you need to have a full moon, you need to have a clear sky, which in Dorset is not that easy. And then the moon, as I said, you know, needs to be not too low, not too high in the sky, otherwise reflecting it is quite complicated too. And you need to have also the moon at night, the full moon at night, so because, you know, it's not synchronized with the sun, right? So sometimes you can have a night where the moon appears a bit, you know, later, and then, you know, also the time is very inconvenient, right? And then you need to design, you know, plan the site, and for the site you need to have a situation where the stage typically faces north in the northern hemisphere, and the reflectors face south, because the moon is going to be mostly in that part. Although this rule, I think I might go and break it a little bit in the next design that I'm going to do, but, you know, based on experience. In the campus, we had this location where there was supposed to be a building that was never built, which is some nice plinths. I don't know if you can see them, like they work nicely. We're supposed to be foundations, but this sort of concrete pads basically over there, and it's kind of naturally sloping as well. You see some of these experimental buildings that students built from time to time. So this little cabin was actually used as a green room for the exhibition. And so what we decided to do was put the stage in the lower part, then arrange the seating over this sloping surface, and then use the area at the back as the reflector support. There are tools that help planning. That can help planning, that are quite visual, you know, web-based ones. So this one can help, you know, with this kind of calendar feature, essentially to find the right time of the year. And this one can help also to understand the, you know, the height and so on. But they're a bit more, they're a bit laborious. You know, you need to do a bit of back and forth and so on. So we decided to actually create a bit of software. So we now have organization set up on GitHub, where the idea is that this library of tools gets, you know, evolving, added more and more. And, you know, one of the first sort of software we developed during the workshop was this planning Jupyter notebook. And it's very, hopefully, well commented, and it's designed to be very easy to use as well. So, for instance, rather than, well, you've got an idea there about all the libraries that we're using. Instead of adding latitude, longitude, you can just write the name of the place. So it's kind of designed to be very easy to use from the perspective. And then it gives you this sort of outlook into the next 12 months of, you know, moonlight, full moon events. It tells you the day, it tells you the height in the sky. So you know that, for instance, where you have, I don't know, a 26 degree or a, I don't know, 11 degree moon, five degree moon, you know, you cannot redo it. So I know that potentially, you know, we could do another event, for instance, in October, which is maybe not too cold, or maybe in November, or maybe in March, but not later on during the year. So this is already quite useful. At a glance, you can kind of see that very easily. And then you can dig down. There is another library called PyLunar, which is based on another library called FM, I think, which has the possibility of basically mapping giving coordinates of any celestial body in the sky. And so for the moon, we can get quite a lot of metrics. And so this is the one that you know, we can use here. There is a project from NASA which generates for any location in the world on the fly images of the moon based on observations. Unfortunately, this one is available only in November of each year for the next year. So, you know, at the moment, we can only see moons, full moons, like planned like that for the next you know, few months until the end of the year. But anyway, it's an interesting tool to add to the, and maybe we might create something a little bit nicer as well that interfaces with RedEnc in the, in, you know, in the future. And then there is the possibility as well of, you know, because the workshop, well, you have this, you know, maybe 2 days in advance, 2 days after, we can create MoonPath with the same Jupyter Notebook, MoonPath paths for the days. So, you know, in this case, I'm actually planning mapping 3 days. So starting from, so red means midnight, and then the blue means like, so a morning, and then blue means night in this case. And so you can kind of correlate a little bit with the time of the day. Maybe, you know, we might want to annotate it in the future. But anyway, it's a bit, missing features, but yeah, it will evolve. And another thing that is useful is obviously you want to understand if this path is useful for the obstruction you have outside. So we did some, for this particular location, we went and took up some fisheye views. We used this method that Paul Burke has developed. It has a big database of all the, I would say probably all of the fisheye lenses in the market that he has tested, or other people for him have tested, but all in the same place. And basically with the image we get, we were able to correct it. So our particular lens goes to 190 degrees and there's a bit of distortion. And then, you know, we can actually make the position of the pixel basically correlated exactly to a radial uniform distribution. And then by mapping the previous sun path, we can understand, yes, so the moon is going to be above the trees, for instance. And so doing that makes it useful as well. So these are all some, you know, planning tools. The next step of tools is more around the reflectors and the site design. So for reflectors, I'm going to now show you a bit of the reflectors that have been developed through time, and then the new reflector that we wanted to do. So this is just an image that kind of, you know, back from the 90s with this, I think the second iteration of the Full Moon Theater, so I'm going to show it shortly. So each reflector typically has an astronomer's name, so they started with Copernic. This was a very interesting reflector. So it's large surface. It is fully flexible, but this flexibility, obviously, you pay with time of setup. So every one of the these horizontal louvers needs to be aimed towards the position where you are and where the moon is. But obviously the moon moves quite quickly. So you can imagine how much work it is to actually do this. You know, over 15 minutes, you would have to have, and you know, go in there and change. So these initial performances were quite like a sort of a village type of event where they had lots of people and people were learning on the job basically to, you know, to move this. And this shows, you know, what the situation typically is where, you know, you might have maybe the best people doing the reflectors, you know, in a more, you know, possible way. You would, you know, the best view here would be the view where you can see the moon in every single element. But as you can see, you know, it's quite hard to sort of get. So, you know, this reflector design, the principle is nice, but doing it with manual, you know, manually with people and so on is quite, it's quite difficult to achieve. This was also like a first iteration and is the Kepler. And this one is the one that I show you the design done on the computer as well. I think maybe a bit more successful, but quite small and, is difficult to orient, I think, overall. So I think that was, I was told about the experience over there. And then, the Archimedes, which is, design more like, these two types of reflectors that I showed you before, they're more for providing what is called in theater lighting fill light to the stage. So maybe doing an area that is wider than a stamp. Let's say, I don't know, a meter by a meter, you know, you can aim. So, you know, with all these reflectors, you could get, you know, good illumination over maybe one meter by one meter, you know, if you do it properly. And with these ones, obviously, you can provide a bit more feel. And while this one is more like a Fresnel, like a spotlight, and so that you need to be close to the stage to aim it to the person. It is though, the concept was really that, to try and mimic what the theater lighting is. And so, yeah, this Archimedes, you can see here, over a sunny day, it can create a lot of damage if you don't use it properly. So, there was an image there that was showing, so these ones were designed as well with the possibility basically of tilting them down. So, you know, during the day, they wouldn't do damage either. What else? This was the second iteration with these Galileos, which have real mirrors, so more expensive to make. But again, they have the same issue of, you need to go there, decide, this aiming situation and then what the best time is. And to be honest, there was a lot of, aspiration to do things properly, for physics, but maybe not much about the practicality of being there and doing it. So this is maybe something that we try to fix. And so this was the last design that Umberto did with a company called Vector Foil Tech. So this is a kind of plastic cushion, BTFA cushion. So it has three layers. You inflate it, and then you can inflate one side. You know, it has a membrane in the middle, which is the one which has the reflectivity. And then by this differential pressure between the two parts, you can provide, you can basically change the focal point. And this one has been the most effective design from a performance perspective, but very heavy because you need to have a metal structure around it. So, you know, quite difficult to operate. But overall was the most successful, you know, over the full 25, 30 years, basically, of research that this project went through. So, we've got our Aristarchus that we just designed this year. I'm maybe, 70, 80% happy about it, but, you know, we can still improve, I think. But overall, so it needs to be big, because this one is to try and provide a sort of 1 meter by 1 meter illumination of, a person, a performer, or maybe a couple of performers. It has a modular frame. It is hung from the top, so it doesn't really weigh on people on the ground. And with two people, you can really operate it easily. So we kind of proved that we wanted, it does work. So I show you the layout. So we did initial calculation, and we thought that we could do maybe 10 times moonlight with one of those. So we wanted to do 20 times moonlight, so we had two. In the plan, we only managed to, we built two reflectors, but only one frame in the end. That is the little disappointment. But overall, I think it went quite well. So the reflector itself, we used a software called FreeCAD, amazing software. You can do BIM with it, in proper way using IFC and so on. You can do parametric design. So all this is basically designed so that you have a few variables. You can say, I want it this wide. I want the focus to be 12 meters. The focus will be 12 meters. And basically, the entire design readjusts itself because it's all done parametrically. So this is the spreadsheet where you change the values. Then you wait a few seconds. It recalculates itself. And then we also managed to put the various parts into a layout. So you can actually go and see it straight away. So this is the kind of spirit of this new wave of project. You know, before, it was more done in a kind of artisanal way. And we work in this time of digital technology and times are more compressed and blah, blah, blah. We really wanted to do it in a way where digital manufacturing can come into place. One thing that we would like to use, and we haven't done yet, FreeCAD also has an optical design workbench, it's called. And I would like to add this as well. So I haven't done, much exploration, but, this will come in the next stage. I did this reflector 1 month before the workshop. Yeah, sorry.
How long do you sit there?
Another 5 minutes. Yeah, will it be okay? Yeah, cool. Okay. So this reflector was done about a month ago just to try materials. So we use Mylar. So you can see the effect there. Again, if you want to see the reflectors, there is a GitHub repo there. For initial planning, we used this component from Ladybug and Honeybee called surface ray tracing. And with that one, you know, we can roughly aim the projector. And then for simulation and validation, we attempted using Gen-Utah Sky. However, we discovered some issues with the position of the moon there. Maybe the library is not updated, which is based. So we created a new tool that is also available there. And so with this new tool, then you can plug it into Radiance, and essentially you can validate what is this. So this is an illuminance calculation. What is this sort of magnification factor that you can have? And so I used Radiance actually to validate LuxRender, because LuxRender gave me results in 10 seconds rather than, you know, half an hour for the rendering. And so it was then easy to iterate with LuxRender. And so you can see here, you know, the position that gives us this 1 meter by 1 meter, but also you can see the position which gives us like the, you know, the strongest amount of light. And then here there are some pictures about the fabrication itself. So I'll just go very quickly so you get an idea. So this is the drawing that you saw before in FreeCAD. The drawing becomes basically a layout that you cut, and then you've got a crowd of happy people that basically, creates. So this little video gives you an idea as well of the site itself, which is this beautiful, you know, location in Dorset. We were asked to do the construction indoors. And so as you can see in this kind of big shed, and then we moved it outside, we placed it on the frame, and then we basically tilted the frame with this big machine. And this is the funny part, we did this procession to move the frame. And it actually took only 5 minutes, I think. So, you know, maybe 10 minutes, let's say. But from the location where we built it to the location where we placed it. So this kind of gives an idea about this sort of very slow process of bringing the reflector into place. And then we dropped it in, and essentially this was a little stage. We had a separate reflector, an inflatable one, which is more like the Archimedes that you saw, like it's maybe the Archimedes version 2 that we tried as well. And yeah, so you see kids trying to inhabit the theater there. This additional reflector we tested as well overnight. So you see here some images about what it looks like. You know, you have the moon there and it reflects on the reflector, then you can illuminate a face with this reflector. So you see here the sort of situation, and these are some portraits in moonlight. this was the test at night of the reflector without having the frame. The frame we built it the following day, but you see capturing moonlight quite well. And you see actually the effect, it was quite remarkable. So, you know, we get to about a lux in this case, which was pretty good. We were less lucky the night of the performance. Well, first because it was only me playing the accordion, so very bad. And then second thing, because the moon was behind clouds. So, I mean, I'll show you this so it gives you an idea. But, you know, still you can photograph. It's quite incredible. You can see the red of the, you know, I spare you the sound. Anyway, and then you can see part of the team here. We repeated it in France with these reflectors, and we learned a lot about these reflectors just a month ago. And so anyway, there is a website with all the information, and if any of you is interested, keep in touch. Maybe you will be doing a full moon theater soon in your own location. and anyway, if you got ideas, please send me, you know, drop me a line. Thank you so much. Yeah.